This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's talk a little Nationals with their president GM, Mike Rizzo, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
Good. Mike, hey, before we get into the team, kind of want your perspective on the whole building a new stadium deal. Now, you weren't with the organization, I guess, at the, you know, the infancy of the idea of building, but I think you were with the team when they played at RFK and then when they opened Nationals Park, and you've definitely been here to witness the transformation of this area. What would you say about a stadium coming to D.C. and the RFK site?
Yeah, I think that I was here when we broke ground with the stadium and when those discussions were happening. I got here in July of 06. So,
oh, okay.
I was around there. I had an office in RFK, and then we transitioned to the new ballpark. And I think it's, you know, my opinion is, you know, these stadiums are a vital part of look what it did to the Navy Yard neighborhood. I mean, I lived there. At the beginning when the ballpark just got there.
Wow.
And to see where it was at the beginning and what it is now is just a testament to what these stadiums and ballparks can do for a community.
Yeah. I mean, we've been here for 7 or 8 years and I always say, hey, I used to be able to see the Capitol building from here, but they've just put up high rise after high rise after high rise and all these restaurants and bars that have come in the last 7 or 8 years. It's pretty amazing.
There's no question about it. When I first moved into the neighborhood, it was a barren place. There was a handful of sprinkled in a restaurant or two and a bar or two, and now, you know, it's one of the most vibrant action-packed neighborhoods in all of DC.
All right, so let's get to the field of play. Tough loss yesterday, blown save from Kyle Finnegan, but we're just continuing to marvel at James Wood week in and week out.
And Dylan's hitting the ball too.
Has come around, but James Wood has just been just crushing the ball.
Yeah, he's in a pretty good place right now. I think that, after a kind of an inconsistent start for him, you know, Darnell and Chris Johnson have got him in a good place. And he feels confident. And he's going to be, if he's not already, one of the most dynamic players in the league. And, you know, when you look at, the emergence since CJ came back, and you got Wood and you got Cruz and Louis starting to heat up a little bit offensively. It's a fun young offense to watch and day in and day out, and with offense comes ebbs and flows, and I think that these guys are getting more consistent. They're getting more into their routines, and I think you can see, the fruits of their labor of all the hard work they put in with our hitting people, and just starting to carve out a little niche for themselves, in the game.
And having CJ back up at the top, especially last night with the four hits, I mean, he just did some serious damage. But we talked about it last week, and he came back from his rehab, you said, yeah, we need him at the top. And last night, man, he was really good.
Yeah, it gives you another dynamic bat in the lineup. That plays a premium position. So, he's an important cog to the lineup, and he kind of makes us go at the top of the lineup, gives us a burst of energy every time he plays. And, he's an important part of this ball club.
Mike, I was there. Unfortunately, I was there that second game against the Mets, right?
Saturday,
where we lost a tough one, 2-0. But I was right there in those great seats that we have right behind home plate. And again, every time I see it in person, I'm particularly struck by just James Wood and just how calm he is. I've never seen anything like. I thought Ryan Zimmerman was pretty darn calm, cool, and collected. Is have you ever seen anybody as just
chill,
and I don't mean this with any negative connotation. I mean, obviously, the moment's not too big for him ever, and he rises to the occasion, so there's no negative connotation to it. But I've never seen anybody as calm, cool, and unfazed as Wood. I've never seen it.
Yeah, he's a cool customer. He's not overhyped by a lot of situations. He's kind of that's his persona and his personality. And you look back at some of those low heartbeat guys, like we talked about, you mentioned Zim, which I think is right on.
Right.
Anthony Rendon had that type of a capability. And Woody he's right there on that list. And, for such a low key guy, he lets his, bat do a lot of the talking because he doesn't say a word.
No, and I don't mean to belabor it. I'm sorry. But I'm watching him in the on-deck circle, right? And then it's his turn he walks the plate even slowly. Like, he is in no rush, and yet, he's this fierce, opponent, this fierce hitter at the plate,
He's got a calm demeanor.
Second to nobody.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's just going to do things at his pace, and
he's remarkable. He's a lot like his dad. His dad, Kenny,
is
very chill like that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when he was on the basketball court, he was beast.
Fierce. Right, he wants to kill you.
So, Mike, last night, McKenzie got off to a rough start. He settled down, and he gave up the two bombs, but he settled in and was really throwing the ball well through six. And then you guys had a great opportunity in the eighth, top of the eighth. You loaded the bases, nobody out, but Alvarado got three straight Ks. But then you guys took advantage of it in the ninth, scoring the four, and Nate Lowe hitting that bomb. It was huge. How were you feeling there late before the bottom of the ninth?
Yeah, squandered opportunities. You always want to tack on a run or two in that situation. But Alvarado's a strikeout guy. He's got when he harnesses it, he's as tough to hit as anybody. So you tip your cap to him, and you need to tack on a run or two there. And the guys know it, and nobody's grinding harder than those guys were at the bat to knock in a run or two. And then a big fly by Nathaniel puts us on top, and you're feeling pretty good about your situation. I love seeing Finnegan on the mound in the ninth inning, because that means we have a chance to win that game. And I felt the same way last night, and we just didn't get it done. And that's part of the world of closers, and you see it not only with Finney every so often, but with a lot of closers in baseball. It's a tough job. That 27th out is a different out. We've always said that, and my thought and my hope is that he's pitching in the ninth inning again, because that means we're winning in the ninth and got a chance to win.
Yeah, and he stepped up at the end of the in the post game when he was asked, but he goes, "Dude, I didn't get it done." But that kind of stuff happens. I think he'll be much better in the next opportunity.
Well, sure, he's 9 out of 11 this year, and standing out there with the game on the line is what he does for a living, and it's a very risk reward type of occupation, and you're the hero or the goat, and he's the hero much more than he's the goat. So ninth inning, game on the line, with Finnegan on the mound, I feel good about our chances to win.
Mike, I think I know this answer because we have the privilege of kind of sitting there with for a game or two with you in the box, and I know how you are so intense during games, and you freaking hate you hate balls and you hate walks and it's kind of funny. You get so intense as the team is getting closer and closer to your vision of what this is going to be, right? A competitive team again for another decade plus. Are these losses, do they affect you more now than they did, say, 2 years ago? Or are you still this? I would bet you're still the same guy, regardless.
Yeah, they don't affect me any more or any less. You know, they're gut wrenching. When you lose, you get walked off in the ninth. It's never good. But you gotta rinse that off and come back and beat a really tough Phillies team again tonight. So you have to have a short memory. You have to have a short memory, but it makes for a restless night of sleep, but you come back to the ballpark and feel rejuvenated, and every day is a new day. But it stings the same way when you're winning 98 games or when you're winning 58 games. Those kind of losses sting the same way, it's part of the process. But nobody enjoys getting walked off, especially in Philadelphia.
Right.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, president GM of the Washington Nationals. So I was reading about one of your prospects in Double A who's crushing it right now. Can you fill me in on Dalen Lyle?
Yeah, Dalen, you saw a glimpse of him in spring training. He's a really good, left-handed hitting outfielder for us. We just promoted him to AAA, I think, yesterday or today. We're doing that. So, he's on his way. He's a guy who got sidetracked early in his minor league career with us. The year we drafted him, he had Tommy John surgery. So he got set back almost a full season of regression of his development. But he's coming on like gangbusters. He's a tough kid that swings a bat. He's got some tools. He runs and plays the outfield. And we think the power's going to come. But he can really hit left-handed bat and earn a trip to Triple A, and a guy that's certainly on our radar. And that Triple A outfield is a prospect outfield with Pinckney and Hassel and now Dalen Lyle, and it's a good group of young upside type of outfielders.
Mike, also saw that Cade Cavalli gets to Triple A. Can you give us an update on his progress?
Yeah, Cade had another rehab start. One of his progression to return to the big leagues. Felt a little fatigued in the second inning. He was touching 98, so his velocity was good. His stuff was good. Felt a little fatigued, so Matty Lecroy shut him down, obviously in abundance of caution, because whenever one of those type of rehab pitchers says anything that's out of the ordinary, we just pull the plug. We'll see where he's at today when he gets with the team, and we'll continue his progression and his rehab to get him ready to pitch for us in the big league soon.
So we kind of touched on Dylan Cruz. You want to kind of just talk about him and what you're seeing over the last 2 weeks. In the last 11 games, he's improved his batting average by 80 points. A tough night last night because you're going against Wheeler, but he's been really good since April 17th.
Yeah, he's a good player. It's just, you know, we try to keep him on the, you know, the straight and narrow. When you're new into the league and you're struggling, it's all about, you know, keeping your confidence level up. And he's never had a problem with confidence. You're talking about guys won a College World Series and the Golden Spikes Award and every other hardware you can in college, and then, you know, comes and he's the type of player he takes a bit to adjust to each level that he's been at with us, and this was no different. Obviously, this is the stress level and the ability level of the pitchers he's facing is increased, but I think his approach and his mindset is the same, and he just needed to relax. And I know they made a few small tweaks with his setup at the plate, and I think that you're seeing some good results from the group getting together with Dylan and making a few adjustments mentally and mechanically, and just letting him go out there and show the ability that he has. You know, he's a good player. He's going to be a good player. He knows it. We know it. The league knows it. So it's just a matter of time before he really figures it out, gets consistent with his approach, and starts taking off. So it's good to see that he's had a little success. Before also, I remember we talked about, you know, he was barreling up the ball pretty good, hitting the ball hard, mm-hmm. just kind of, at some people. So I think, you know, every so often you get a broken bat hit, doesn't hurt, and, kind of sets you on your way to some further success.
Real quick, Mike, I've always just kind of taken an interest in Jackson Rutledge since you drafted him, because I remember just, you know, being struck by how big it was. Now you see it more and more often, right? All these big guys. But I was like, man, that guy's a big dude. What a beast this guy could be. And he's had some trials and tribulations, but he's getting there. I know when the game I was at, he came in relief. I should know this. I'm looking at, is that a role that he might potentially fill for you guys? Or do you still see him as a starter? Am I behind the curve on this?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Not behind the curve. He's been a starter for us, throughout right. his minor league career. But this spring training, we kind of morphed him into a relief role. We thought that better suited his skill set and his stuff. And he's really adapted well to the bullpen. And as he learns, he gets more comfortable in the role and the preparation that it takes to pitch multiple days in a row. You know, he's used to pitching once every 5 or 6 days in the minor league, so he has to prepare his body and his repertoire to to simplify a few things on the mound and to pitch multiple days in a row. I think he's doing a good job of it. It's something that it takes a little practice to do, but I think he's taken to it well. I think his arm action and his delivery and his stuff are conducive to that, and I think that he was very receptive of the change, and it was something that we felt that would benefit him, get him to the big leagues, and for us, because he was a guy that could really help us out of the pen.
Right.
Great stuff as always, Mike. It's Mike Rizzo, present GM of the Nationals, brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local. Bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Talk to you next week, Mike.
Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
Yep. See you. Thank you, Mike.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.